felt the same as I did that day. Yeah. Should've given more, but there was before I couldn't give my all. So I walked away. As I did that day, yeah. Should've given more, but there was before I couldn't give my all, so I walked away, yeah, yeah. Now I feel like I'm losing my mind. Maybe I've run out of time. Can someone
I'm felt that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called.
Yeah, that was Still Rolling Stones by Lauren Daigle. You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters. Welcome. It's Friday and we're heading into some really good things today. I've got Denise in the studio. I've got Pastor Roger coming in for Pastor's Corner later on today. We're going to unpack some things and it's going to be a good one. What have we got? Oh, and before Still Rolling Stones, I had Back to the River by Stan Walker. That's one of his new songs out. You might want to watch the video on that. It's pretty powerful, pretty amazing. So it was a good one to listen to, yeah, and good one to watch too. What am I going to play now? I'm going to play up Someday. Actually, my sister sent me through this song, Enjoy.
Cause I made my life a mess.
Oh, I better put myself on. That was Someday. And hello, Denise. Got Denise in
here.
Hello. Yeah, it's so good to have you. We're going to look at one of Denise's older blogs today that she was doing when she was walking through France.
Yep.
Correct. Yeah, so I really like this one. I've been reading it. It's called A Reflective Pause. I even like the heading of it because it just means that in the moment we're stopping to think about something and be reflective about it rather than, and actually in that moment, you know, expanding that moment a little bit so that we can take more notice of it rather than passing it by. So I like a reflective pauses.
Yeah.
Sounds great, Denise. I like that. And actually the second heading to this is on peace. And I really wanted to talk about peace today because on Sunday we've got the Hikoi for Hauora and Suicide Awareness Day happening on Sunday over at the Yard. And suicide is something not all of us have been affected by it, but maybe have in some way been close to it through a family member or a friend or even an acquaintance. So it's something we need to always be, you know, talking about and our stories and, reflecting, I think, or taking a reflective pause and trying to find peace in the chaos that these things can bring. So that's particularly why I wanted to unpack this blog this week. And also I've got Pastor Roger coming in, and we're going to carry on that theme of peace from a biblical perspective and maybe bring in some experience there around God's vision or view, I should say, around the whole idea of peace and turmoil. So I'm just going to open up with this blog. It starts week after week. I've talked on here about change. This is Denise, not me. Change of perspective, change of attitude, change of heart, change of mindset, change of behaviour. We are surrounded by opportunities to change or to stick with the way that we've always done it. I really like this first way you've started this off because it's quite challenging for us, Denise.
Right.
It's right there, isn't it?
Good.
Yeah, because we are surrounded by opportunities to change or to stick with the way that we've always done it. And I think we don't see opportunities unless we want to see them. You know, you've got to be open to the opportunity or we can avoid and veer off any chance of any growth happening from something. So yeah, so you looked in here, you've got change of perspective, like change of attitude. I think that's a great one to start with because our attitude, you know, will straight away go to the opposite of what we want to do or what, not what we want to do, but what would be healthy for us to do in our own growth.
Love it. Oh, this is very insightful.
Oh, no. Okay, taking Councillor Hot hat off. Okay, put Marie hat on. No, you can't separate those two, actually. Yeah, change of attitude. So attitude, like I say, can be our stopping point. And to want to change our attitude, we've got to be aware of it. So Denise, tell me a little bit about that. You know, were you ever aware of an attitude that you had to change? And what was that like to have to acknowledge that? And
almost every day.
Oh. I know, it comes to the surface all the time, eh?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back. So when I was writing this, we were walking and we had walked. I'd walked for 10 days without any break and I was looking forward to having a break the next day. And I must say I was getting to the point where I was starting to whinge a little bit, getting tired. And, you know, even that, like the reality is we were blessed to be able to be walking across France. That's not something that everybody has the opportunity to do, or, you know, the time to do it, the finances to be able to go, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, even there, even with the environment I was in at the time, I could actually choose to be whinging about stuff, or I could actually choose to be really thankful for where we were, what we were doing, and the opportunity to do it. So, yeah, I mean, there's always opportunity to change attitudes.
Not easy though, eh? It's like when you're expecting a beautiful day to go walking and then it's raining.
Yeah.
Your attitude will be like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go out today.
Yeah, you know? Even yesterday, like, because, you know, Hamilton's a couple of degrees warmer than here, and I looked on the weather app before I went in and thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be nice and warm. So I wore a T-shirt and shorts, didn't even take a long sleeve top or anything. And I got there, and it was really quite a chilly wind. And I was like, oh, what's that about? I mean, just the smallest things in every moment of life.
Yeah, yeah. It can suddenly turn grumpy.
Yeah.
Like from good to grumpy. Yeah, I can do that one quite easily. Change of heart. Now, that's more of our emotional response, which, you know, aligns with our attitude, but it only aligns if we are, if our will is attached to that, if we're willing that, you know, we're in agreement. Otherwise, we might get a little bit stubborn on this one.
Yeah.
Change of heart, huh?
Yeah, a change of heart, I think, requires a bit more of a deeper understanding. Like, it's not just a mindset change, it's actually deeper. And so we do talk about changing our minds being a little bit like change of heart, but I think change of heart is those more significant changes. But, you know, I'm just aware when I'm writing my blog every week, it's just like I felt like I was hammering people, like, change this, do this, fix this. And then I just got to this point and it's just like, oh, hang on a second, like, you don't always need or want somebody saying that stuff to you. Sometimes it's actually okay to just be and just pause and go, hey, where have I made changes? You know, what even if it's a small step, what have I managed to do? Rather than always thinking, oh, I've got to do the next thing. And I think that's where this came out of. So I have been talking in the blogs about, change of heart, so, you know, being thankful or forgiving people or, you know, quite significant heart stuff. But then I got to this one that's just like, okay, let's give the poor people a rest.
I was just reading this bit, but it says, taking stock of changes can encourage you, inspire you, and give you an anchor on a hard day. And I think that's, I like the idea of the anchor in a hard day. If we've set our mind to something that we can do in the moment that will shift an attitude or shift a heart response, we're on the winning team, Denise. Yeah. You know, we've informed ourselves, or we've given ourselves some tools to use instead of skipping over and ignoring what's happening. Actually go there and unpack it, even if it's uncomfortable. Okay, we're going to head in some songs. A couple of good songs. Oh, we'll shake it out with Florence and the Machine. Here we go.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh, but I'd like to keep some things to myself. I'd like to keep my issues drawn. It's always darkest before the
I like to keep my
yeah, sometimes we just need to shake it out. Music's a good way of doing that, Denise. Just
have a good dance.
It's a great way. I do it often in my big kitchen where no one can see me and my awkwardness. I can only encourage others out there. Sometimes we need to give ourselves some privacy and space to dance around and get the body moving and really shake up those joints and muscles and sinew that's in there.
I think the kitchen is one of the best places to do it because it's completely impromptu.
Yep.
It just flows out and there you go.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught doing it. It's no. Embarrassing. Like, oh, there we go. No, not a good idea.
I had a neighbour say to me yesterday she was imagining me dancing on a table. I was like, what's that about? I hardly dance in the kitchen, let alone on a table.
Well, it's something I've taken up. I'll tell you what, it's really, really good for you. Make you laugh, make you feel a lot better, get everything moving around, and that's what we need to do sometimes. When we're stuck, you know, we just feel stuck in our day or stuck in a grumpy mood or just stuck in a thought, put some of my music on. Head over to Spotify and Faith Matters and put on the playlist and just start moving around and letting the cares go. And I think that's why I put that song on there from Florence and the Machine, Shake It Out, 'cause sometimes we can feel like we've got a monkey on our back. Although she's talking about the devil. She's talking about getting the devil off your back, you know, and sometimes we've just got to shake that one off, you know, and free ourselves up. So we're looking at your blog and we're looking at a reflective pause, and in that you've got peace, and that can happen when we take the time to think something out rather than reacting the way we've always reacted. And here in your blog you've got, so when I say take note of changes, I don't mean noticing only the big things. This week was there one time that you reacted differently to how you might have before? If so, then yay. Celebrate your accomplishments. Be encouraged. If you observe one change, then suddenly you realise that you can change. You can change. And you are not stuck where you are. You can move forward. Mm. Yeah, I really like that, Denise. Hopefully this was an inspiration to you. That's what she's written in here. So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to hand it over to you on that one. I hope that was an inspiration to you. If you observe one change, tell me, where did you start to think about this and want to bring it into your blog?
When I was travelling, we had one person with us that was had quite a few health challenges going on while we were travelling, and normally I'd probably be quite impatient with that. I'd just be like, ugh. But
such a compassionate heart.
Compassion's always been my high point. But I was actually really surprised at how I responded in different situations, and how I was like, there was once we were just walking a short way and I said to someone, you know, are they still on the bus? Like, they'd be able to make it here. And they said, oh, actually they're exhausted and yeah, they just want to sit. And I was like, oh, okay. And moved on. Whereas another day, you know, back a few years, even back a few months, I might have gone, well, come on, I'm going to go and get them. Like, I can help them here. They can do, you know, like push, trying to get them to do what I think they should be doing. Whereas I knew that they could probably make it. But if they were exhausted and just wanted a rest, well, that's okay.
Mm.
Yeah. So just like that, for me to just actually be able to let people be. That's not normal.
No, and I could tell by the look on your face, because as she was describing that, one was a quite peaceful look and the other one was like, well, why aren't they? And I guess we're engaging with how we want to feel about something or how we want to respond, you know. Mm. We're annoyed at you because you can't keep up. Like,
yeah, and I didn't want this person to miss out on what was going on. Like, I wanted them to, you know, we were part of a tour group at that time and it was like, yeah, there's so much amazing stuff. I really want them to be as part of as much as they can. But yeah, but they just needed a rest, so that's fine.
So tell me, as you practice this more, this reflective pause or observing one change, you know, how do you find that is working for you? I don't know what else. I was going to put something else in there. I thought, how's that working out?
Well, I think I put in there something about using it as an anchor because, yes. You know, like in my world, I was really hard on myself and really negative. My self-talk used to be really harsh. And so generally speaking nowadays, I'm pretty good. But then I'll have this, you know, something will happen and I'm just like thrown back and the negative thoughts will start coming up. And it's like, hang on a second. Now I can actually grab hold of one of these, you know, positive changes or whatever and go, no, that doesn't define me. That's not who I am. That's, you know, I could engage with that thought if I want to, and I could absolutely go down the path and, you know, tell myself how useless I am or whatever, but actually I don't need to, because that's not the truth. Well, it might have some truth, but it's not like the full truth. It doesn't define who I am.
Yeah, right.
And so that's what I was sort of thinking. When you can see that you've changed in an area, it kind of gives you hope. You're like, okay, well, if I've changed once, even if it was only one time that I managed to do it, I could do that again.
Yeah.
And sort of aim, you have, set yourself a little, okay, the next time that happens, I'm going to react differently or whatever it might be. And the other thing that I've sort of found with the way that my self-talk goes, like sometimes you have this really, something amazing happens in a real high, and then give it 3-4 hours and you just go, doof, and your brain will analyze it completely negatively. And I can remember sitting there, I'd actually spoken to a group, and I popped around to a friend's in the afternoon. She'd been there when I was doing the talk, and I was just absolutely just slumped, and I just started to feel like it was so, you know, unhelpful, useless, all that sort of stuff. And she just said to me, whatever you're thinking right now, I was there. It was really helpful. Like, what you're thinking now is not the truth. Mm. Just don't even listen to your thoughts. And actually, someone said to me probably a year or so ago, which I found really helpful, is your thoughts are just suggestions. Your brain is designed to come up with thoughts. You don't have to believe your thoughts and you don't have to agree with them. Your brain's just coming up with, you know, we could go this direction, we could go this direction, and then you kind of concentrate on a thought, and then your brain's like, okay, cool, let's go to that way. But actually, if you choose not to engage with a thought and go, nah, I'm not going there, well, then your brain's like, oh, all right, well, then it has to come up with more possibilities, and you can choose which one you actually want to engage with. Like, wow, how powerful is our brain?
It's incredible, Denise, our brain. Totally come alongside that. That's very, in the counselling world, that's very gestalt way of working, is with our thinking, stinking thinking, is that we don't have to respond to every thought, that we can allow it to, imagine it just kind of moving around and in a swirl and heading on out again, like we acknowledge you, or I acknowledge you, I know that you're there, but I don't have to respond to you and let you go. It's quite a process, I think, to teach ourselves that way, because our first response is to get emotionally attached to the thought. So, you know, if you think, you know, I've been hard done by, then our emotions will come alongside that in agreement and go, oh, heck yeah. And you get that sinking feeling in your stomach and you kind of feel down. And so to, you know, and there's a whole chemical reaction there that's going on.
Well, if
in the
it's
body.
What you normally do, then it's really comfortable. It's a really comfortable place to be. And so even though you don't like it, it's familiar. And so you just go with it.
Yeah.
Until you decide not to.
And I guess you've got to want to change. Because I know people in my life who don't want to change, Denise. You know, they're. It might have been pointed out to them by many different people, certain things about them, but they don't want to change it. They're quite happy being like that. Yeah. And then it's the difficulty with that is that now I have to change to be able to be alongside them. I've got to change something within me that because I might not come in agreement with how they are.
Right.
And so for me to feel comfortable, then part of me has to adjust too, and depending on what that is, because no one really knows what I'm talking about, which is great. Don't need to. because we all have our own experiences and stories attached to that. But, I think that if change in the moment is something we have to practice and be very conscious of and want to do that. Otherwise, we're just beating our heads up against a brick wall, basically, because nobody's listening.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. So if you do take a reflective pause and you actually stop and you notice what's going on, you know, if you can even find one thing that you've managed to change, that gives you a bit of hope. Because I think, people do. You think, oh, this feels bad. I'd like to change. I'd like to get help. And then actually when it comes to it, you don't want to do the work, I guess you could say, of finding a different way to think or whatever. So this is just a really simple way for you to, you know, in your own space and in your own time without imposing on anyone else, just look for things that you've changed and go, actually, that had a positive impact on me, and so maybe change is possible, maybe it's worth it. Yeah, I was actually thinking, when I was talking about that highs and lows just a minute ago, there's a really good story in the Bible that kind of emphasises that. So you've got a prophet, Elijah, who he's the one who was up on top of the mountain and he told all of the prophets of Baal to call down fire from heaven, and they were doing everything that they could do, doing their chants, they were cutting themselves, they were doing all sorts of things to try and get a response from the spirit realm that this fire would fall. And after they'd been doing it for sort of half a day, he started to tease them a little bit and say, yeah, come on, what's going on? Is your God asleep? Like, what's up? And no matter what they did, this fire didn't fall. And so it came close to the normal hour for sacrifice, and Elijah set up the altar the way that it was originally set up, and he got people to bring buckets and buckets and buckets of water and poured it, set up the wood and poured water over everything, and set up the sacrifice. And at the time that the sacrifice would normally happen, he prayed and fire came down and lit, you know, everything that was completely drenched in water and sort of licked up everything. It was just zhook. And so he had this powerful moment, and sort of, you know, the power of God was obvious, and everybody sort of said, my goodness, God, he is the Lord. Like, they were blown away by it. So he had this real high point, and all the prophets were killed, everything was cleansed, the rain came, it had been a big drought, and the rain came in, and all this amazing stuff happens. Then he got a threat by the queen, who was very unhappy about that. Well, within a day, he's running out into the wilderness, and he falls down underneath a bush and just goes, God, just kill me now. What's the point in life? And it's like, hang on a second, like, wasn't it 24 hours ago that you were, like, on top of the world? And so we really do, when we have a high moment and something amazing happens, just don't be surprised when your thoughts go ka-junk afterwards, because it's completely normal. And just because your thoughts go there doesn't make it true. I mean, Elijah didn't need to have his... He was really in a bad way, and he fell asleep, and God actually brought an angel to give him food and water and said, you know, eat this, drink this. And then he went and walked out into the wilderness and had this amazing kind of God encounter. But, you know, that difference from the high to the low was pretty quick.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good example out of the Bible that we're still facing every day today, the highs and lows that happen really quickly. You know, we can have something amazing happen and be on top of the world and think, wow, we're surfing it now, like, here I am. And then, boom, the wave comes crashing down and you're on your own and the lights are off and the crowd's gone home. It's like, oh, now what? know. And that I think is when our negativity towards ourselves, like, oh, you weren't good enough anyway, or no one was really that interested, or whatever it might be you're saying to yourself, starts to take dominance. And yeah, we can go down really quickly. So to change that, and yeah, I mean, I can think of myself many times in my own life where I've I had to adjust something or change it in the moment, but without the willingness to do it, I wouldn't have done it, Denise. Mm. You know, the will has got to be there. It's got to be, I want to develop. I want to feel something different. I want to see something different. And if I want to feel and see something different, then I have to do something different. And what I've gotten from that exercise is a far more exciting life, for one. Because I can't predict every time what the outcome's going to be anymore, because the response is going to be different. Mm. And so I do challenge my responses. You know, my natural is to go to the mongrel and absolutely annihilate. Like, okay, we're at war, we're going in, boots and all, you know.
Yikes.
Whether you're ready or not, here I come. And it's not cool. But unless you know a different way, there is no other way. You'll only react the way that you know to react. So through my faith and being the things that I've learnt in God's word, especially about who he is and his nature, you know, and the personality of Jesus, gave me insight into being trying different things. And it's interesting because, I mean, I could look at other people and think, you know, I could try what they're doing, but because I haven't read their story, I don't know them like I have read the story of Jesus,
right?
And know his life and how that outworked when he was hated so much and people, yeah, really many didn't like him and what he stood for. Reading the story and knowing how he was born and the whole purpose of who he is gives me so much strength. It's incredible because I know that God went to great lengths to give us the insights that we have through his life that we can read about. And there's nowhere I've read about Jesus where I've ever thought, man, I don't like the way he responded, or that doesn't feel right. It's just never once. It's always, wow, that's pretty wise. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
With the people who were broken, he showed compassion. And with the people who were arrogant and obnoxious, he put them in their place.
Yeah, but even in putting them in their place, there wasn't the aggro-ness that I see in our humanness when we put people in their place. Like, we put them in their place, you know. You kind of know you've been put in your place.
Right.
Whereas Jesus always kind of brought insight or wisdom.
Right.
Or maybe he took you to your own edge of what you know and what you don't know. And he'd tell you what you didn't know.
Yes.
And it would make sense.
Because he knew everybody actually what their question was and what their thing was.
And what was behind it
and
who they were and their nature and why they might have held those kind of opinions because of where they came from. So those insightful wisdom that many of us don't stop to have. I'm not saying we can't have that, because I know we can.
Mm.
It's whether we stop long enough to be interested to have it.
Right.
Be interested in another human being.
Yeah.
That regardless of what they say or how they're presenting, they're pretty cool. There's parts of them that are okay, and I don't have to react to this part,
right?
You know, because it doesn't come in alignment with what I agree with.
Mm.
So, I think that taking the time and to choose something different really does grow us in ways that never going to happen when we sit in avoidance. So let's head into this one. This is Casting Crowns. Does anybody hear this? Yeah, it's a great story song, this one. Oh, kind of gets to my heart.
She is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction.
She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find she's another 2 years older and she's three more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? She is yearning for shelter and affection that she never found at home. And she is searching for a hero to ride in, to ride in to save the day. And in the walks her Prince Charming, say momentary lapse of reason, and she gives herself away. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people, they can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people can't see past a scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. Never even met her. Does anybody hear her? Does anybody see? Or does anybody an hour in the wrong direction.
Yeah, there we go, Denise. 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Let's just revert that into the right direction.
Well, I just had some thoughts come to mind when we're listening to that song. I don't think I've heard that song before. It's beautiful, really powerful.
I know.
But that concept of does anybody hear her, and I thought what you were just saying about how Jesus responded so appropriately to all these different people, but I was thinking back to the story of Elijah, that when Elijah was like, God, just take me now, there's no point to life, there's no point in me even living. So he was in a pretty low place, and God didn't reason with him or argue with him or tell him to snap out of it. Actually, God sent an angel to give him food and give him water and rest, and then he rested again. And so actually, I was just thinking, you know, when we are in that low point, God is not a God who slaps us around the ears and goes, come on.
Snap out of it. Buttercup.
He actually meets us where we're at. Yeah. And so just encouragement for anyone who's feeling pretty low, that actually, you know, there is a verse in the Bible that says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so we can give all those concerns, all those things that are going on for us, give them to God, and he actually exchanges them for his peace, for comfort. You know, he might do that by something that's just deeply personal to you, or he may bring other people around who can encourage you. Like, he might do it different ways. He might just have someone turn up with food and drink and have opportunity for a rest. Like, it'll be different for every person in every circumstance, but actually, you know, he is there. So if you're feeling like you're really low, please, you know, do
go to the source.
Turn to him. I saw something this morning. Marie just messaged me this morning to say what we were going to talk about today, and I happened to be online and I saw this little quote on Facebook on Mindful Christianity page, and it says, if you feel like you're losing everything, remember that trees lose their leaves every year and they still stand tall and wait for better days to come. And so that concept of actually, you know, right now everything might look really like they're all coming to an end, or there's things are just finishing, but actually when those things happen, it's a new beginning. So like, do hold on to hope, don't give up, because actually it could be as soon as this afternoon or tomorrow something new might come about. And I can remember when we came back from being away a long time ago, we went through to a debriefing weekend that talked about, you know, when things are changing, you sort of have this natural, you just start to go down emotionally. It's just like, oh, that's over. It's kind of all the memories, all the stuff sort of is now in the past tense, and you just start to slide down. And the only way that changes for someone who's transitioning is actually to find something new to look ahead to. And so, you know, lift your eyes, look for something to look forward to, because if you can't find that thing to look ahead to, you just, you know, things will continue to slide. But even just that little quote, remember that trees lose their leaves every year, and they still stand tall and wait for better days to come. Like, there is a strength in that. Like, even just looking at creation and going, the seasons are a natural cycle of life, and things might be really hard right now, but that doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way. So hopefully that's an encouragement for somebody out there.
Absolutely. And that new direction, you know, when we bring God into the situation, it's looking for that point of difference. So what's different when I go there, when I bring him in, when I look at his nature and how he would have responded to this, or what would have been his heart response here, even though my heart's hard? Yes. How do I soften it to a place where I'm going to learn something maybe about myself, or maybe something about the other person that's going to help me to bring a deeper connection there, instead of this avoidance that we do. So, Denise, we are nearly there. Thank you for coming in.
You are very welcome. Yeah. Always fun.
So if you're looking for Denise's blog, I'm going to let you tell us about where to find that.
Denise.nz. That's very complicated.
Did you get that? Denise.nz.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. You can't miss that one. Look, she's got heaps of her blogs on there. I pulled this one out. This one's about three or 4 weeks old now, I think.
Yeah.
And she's just updated. There was a new one that went on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Oh, she's forgotten. Hang on, do you want me to look it up? Oh, no. Oh, put her on the spot, right? I did, didn't I? Oh, well, never mind. There we go.
I don't know, but it's great.
She did do it.
Wait, it's called did Wait, What?
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Oh, no.
Wait, what?
We knew all along. There you go. See, we are onto it. Okay, so we've got, we're going to play a song and then I've got Pastor's Corner coming up. We've got Pastor Roger coming in and we're going to unpack some more around peace and, yeah, bringing God into the situation and find out some biblical truths around this. So stay tuned. You're listening to Marie on 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio, Faith Matters. And in the studio we have Pastor Roger and Denise is still with us too. You're all on.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Pastor.
Yeah. Kia ora, Marie.
Yeah, so before we start talking, I thought I'd let you know a little bit about what we're doing. This is a segment called Pastor's Corner. I do have an email. If anyone wants to email me in, I will keep it anonymous. If you have any questions about God, Christianity, the church, the Bible, anything at all, or just even something in your own life, if you want to know about prayer or anything, please email in and we will do our best to answer your questions or unpack them. We won't always have the answers. Maybe Roger will, I don't know. I'll put that one on his shoulders, not on mine. Maybe. But maybe. So I really encourage you. That's all lowercase, Faith Matters, 98.1 FM at gmail.com. I will have that on our Facebook, so you'll be able to find that there. Can't encourage you enough. If you've got some questions, email them through. So welcome to the show, Roger. Welcome to this part.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to unpacking Pastor's Corner and what that brings as we look more in depth at our faith and Christianity. So me and Denise, we kind of started the show off. We're talking about peace in troubled times, realising that it's Hikoi for Hauora and Suicide Awareness Day on Sunday over at the Yard, 10 till 2. They're doing a walk around the bridges, and then there'll be a lot of information around suicide and how to get support on the day. But today I wanted to use this time to just talk to Pastor Roger about what do we do, you know, in our faith. Me and Denise were unpacking before about going through difficulty, and often we divert off into what we want to do. But if we start a new pattern in our life, that it can bring change and it can bring new ground. And for us in our faith, often that's what we do in this new direction. So maybe unpack that a little bit, Roger, around peace and turmoil and how do we find God. And I've given you a big question, sorry.
You have, yeah. No, it's awesome. It's finding peace, I think it's a personal thing, and we all find peace in different ways. I think having a relationship with God makes a big difference. But regardless, you know, we still have to find our own way in that journey. And people are wired differently. Some people are more relaxed by nature. Some are more upbeat and out there and stressed and so on. And the pressures of life can mount up too, can't they? Mm. And I think, you know, you're talking about the Hikoi and suicide awareness, and you know, there's all sorts of reasons I think that push people to the brink, and suicide really is at the brink, isn't it? Or past the brink, and it it's awesome that you're talking about it. It's awesome that we've got this Hikoi and Awareness Day on Sunday. Mm. I think it's really, really important that we talk about these things, that we face them, and seek to work our way through, because it's not easy.
And I know part of your story too, and you've had experience around this, and I wasn't going to go into your story, but I know that you've come alongside difficulties here in this area of suicide. And so I just wonder if you could maybe speak into that a little bit as a pastor, and what helped you in difficult times to deal with these things.
Yeah, well, as you know, in our family, we have experienced a tragedy of a suicide in our family, in our family group, and it's probably, to be honest, it's probably one of the toughest things that we've ever faced as a family. And I don't minimise it at all. Because it is a tragedy. There's no two ways about that. And sometimes afterwards there's not just the grief of losing a loved one or a friend or whatever. It's also all the questions of what if we'd done something a little different. Is there more we could have done to turn things around? Is there more we could have done to help? But I guess the painful part about suicide is that it's it's not just a tragedy at the time, it's an ongoing tragedy because that person is not with you anymore. There's loved ones, particularly close members of the family, if you've got a husband or a wife or children, and the dynamics around that, it's just very, very painful. I mean, there's no way around it.
No, there is no way around it. And grief is something we have to go through because we can't deny grief. Even Jesus didn't deny grief going to the cross, and I don't think we get away with it either.
No, well, for us in our family, it was over 20 years ago now, but it's still very real. I guess over time, the pain of it and the the questions and so on do diminish. I mean, I guess in a way, time does heal. But I don't know how I would have coped, really, if I didn't have a faith, actually. And I think that makes a big difference. But there's still a lot of questions. And sometimes there's just no answers. And there's no rhyme or reason, really, sometimes. And some things I think we may never know, certainly not in this life. But yeah, we've got to work our way through, don't we? And that's the challenge. But I guess the big thing about what's happening on Sunday, this Awareness Day, Suicide Awareness Day, is actually we need to be working together to prevent this sort of thing happening because it does a lot of damage. That's been our experience, and the pain is still there. It's long term. So.
And, yeah, this working together, that's about noticing and finding ways to reach out and be heard when we are in great pain. It's not always easy, is it, Denise, to reach out and be heard when we're in difficult times.
And the thing is, too, you can perhaps say something to someone and they don't actually understand the seriousness of what you're saying, too. Mm. And so, you know, don't be afraid to say again. Or, you know, say, actually, a really this is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I look at how do we get through this, Roger, like, so in our faith, it's one thing to say we can find peace in God, but it's another thing to actually experience it. You know, words can be just words sometimes. So tell me, were there times when you felt, even in that place of difficulty, a supernatural peace happening or something different that you felt, was from God?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it's different for everybody. I don't think it's like a simple one-size-fits-all solution. I guess for us as a family, there was some ongoing trauma. There was before and after, and and different family members have worked through it in different ways, but I think gradually we're all, even though it's taken time, we're all coming out the other side. And I guess at the end of the day, we just have to say, we just have to trust God regardless. And say, well, look, I don't fully understand. I don't know whether there's more I could have done to prevent this or help this situation from ever happening in the first place. But, Lord, we've just got to look to you and trust you that our loved one is safe and that we're going to get through it all. And I think having the support of each other has been really key over the years, and sort of sticking together and not blaming. You know, I think, you know, the worst thing we can do is blame someone else or something. And, I mean, we're always looking for excuses and things to blame. But at the end of the day, I think we've just got to be there for each other. And regardless of the, you know, because once it's happened, it's, you know, you can't bring that person back. And so we've got to just love each other and reach out for each other and...
Yeah, it's so right, isn't it? Because, yeah, obviously we will all have our own memories of that person, and we can, that's what we're left with. Yeah. And there's, yeah, it's, an, it's There's nothing you can do about it. You can't put anything right. You can't apologise. You can't say what you wanted to say. Everything just kind of stops. And so you're left with a whole lot of unanswered stuff that sits there for, you know, for, like you say, many, many years. So it's never going to be an easy one to work through.
I think any loss, I mean, any family member that passes on or loved one or friend can be really, really difficult. But I guess in a way, suicide is almost like a rejection of us or something. And I think that's what makes it a little bit more painful. I think everybody goes through loss and trauma at different times, and it is a part of life that we've got to work through.
How powerful though that you were able to go through it and go through it together, because I think, you know, sometimes something like a tragedy like suicide or some other loss can happen in a family, and the family don't manage to journey that together, and actually you have a multiplication of trauma and tragedy, because actually they've not only had their initial loss, but actually then, you know, as they struggle to cope with that, actually they end up losing each other, and it just multiplies.
I wouldn't say that we did it perfectly, and but I think it did draw us as a family closer rather than further apart, which I think is awesome, but there, you know, there were certainly times when it wasn't like that. But
Can I ask, like, do you think that's got a lot to do with faith, though? That being able to come together and not draw apart.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I think so. But yeah, it's a big question. It's not an easy. There's no easy answers. That's what I've come to conclude. And I think the interesting thing is, you know, we can go through life and we can be really close to people and then suddenly they're not there. I mean, someone might move away out of our life, or someone might pass on, and you just don't see them again. You know, and I think sometimes we forget how short this life really is, and how transient sometimes things that we think are permanent and actually not. Even our friendships and our family members, you know, that they're not always there, and sometimes people do disappear out of our life for sort of unknown reasons. But this whole suicide one, it puts another level of pain on it, but it's still, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't understand actually.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit it on the head before when you said it can feel like a rejection of us, you know. Yeah. I haven't actually heard it put that way before, but I get a sense that definitely is how a lot of people would be left feeling. And that's a hard one to work through.
I think the other thing too, I think there's sort of natural level where You think about all the things that we could have done practically to help this person or each other grieving through it. You know, there's all sorts of things that practically we can do and should do. But I also think that sometimes there's a spiritual dynamic that work as well. And I guess I get a sense that there's we've got an enemy that actually wants to pull us down and tear us down and kill and rob and destroy. I mean, it sounds difficult to say that, but in the spirit, I think we've all experienced the dark side, and I think around suicide there is something in the spirit that's dark about it. It's not God, it's not loving, it's just pain, and it's loss, and it's agony, and it's trauma, and it's not the way God wants it to be. So somehow we've got to work through that. We've got to heal. We've got to get that sense of hope that you guys were talking about, so that we can actually rise above that somehow. And we can't always do that on our own. Sometimes we actually need help. We need help of others. We need the help of God. We need love. I think love is the key, really, that will get us through. And loving and accepting, and sometimes even just to be there and to listen and to help people, others that are going through stuff, you know.
Mm.
It's a complex one. I don't think there's any...
But you're right.
There's no cliche answers. That just some things we've just got to, it just takes time. We've got to work our way through. We've got to just trust God. We've got to love each other. We've got to just believe that actually, as you were saying before, there's a better day coming. You know, this is painful. This is hard. This is dark. But, you know, God's going to get us through this. He's going to lift us above it. And I guess that's been ultimately our experience, is that we have got through. And I know that there are other family members that are closer than me, that it's taking a bit longer, but I'm believing that they will as well. So, you know, and it's a real thing.
Yeah, and it really comes alongside what me and Denise were talking about in regards to, you know, you said further back that, you know, you don't know how you would have done that without your faith. And that's the point of difference, I think, when we're dealing with such difficulties and we've got nowhere to take it, nowhere to go, nowhere to get comfort, nowhere to get a sense of well-being back, I guess. And in our faith, being able to connect with the Father's heart, I think.
Yeah.
Really has an impact on us because we feel it. There's a sense in us that we feel when we come alongside God and how he feels about us in the situation and the love that he can pour in those moments that is supernatural. So we're going to head into a song and we'll be back with some more around all of this.
Just getting in your own way.
Yeah, that was Waiting by Lauren Daigle. I've had a few of her sounds on today. She had a concert not long ago that a few of my friends went up to, and I know they had a great time. I think you went, didn't you, Roger? I just realised that. You did. They were, him and Cheryl were boogieing up there. I didn't see any videos to confirm that, but I did ask. Hey, truly.
We were just talking about dancing before.
I know. You didn't dance.
You wouldn't know, Marie. No, I wasn't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there. So,
you're telling stories.
No, I am telling stories. But, hey, I'm thinking you brave people. Because I didn't go up there. And I'm the one on the radio doing music. And I'm thinking, I didn't go up and listen to her. But you guys did. So I'm like, you guys are amazing. I'm glad you guys went up. I hope you had a good boogieing time.
Awesome concert, I must admit. But it's just nice to get out and have a change.
I thought you were going to say get out and go home after.
To get out of the normal routine. Just to do something different now.
Well done. Awesome. Our passes up at the concerts in Auckland more than we are, Denise. Showing us up big time. Okay, where are we going? Okay, so we were going to head into, I'm just about at the end of the show. But before I pass to Roger, just to wrap this up a little bit around some scripture and bringing God into the situation. I just want to remind you about Pastor's Corner. You can email any questions you'd like in on all lowercase faithmatters98.1 FM at gmail.com. Your question, your names will stay anonymous. I'm not going to put anyone's names on air. I'm a counsellor, so don't forget, confidentiality is, it's going to be pretty safe. You're all right. But hey, if you want your name mentioned and you'd like your question out there, you can put that in your email to me. So, if you've got questions around God, Christianity, church, anything, prayer life, whatever you want to know, we'll do our best to unpack that. So over to you, Roger.
As we wrap up today, I think my heart goes out to families and people that have had to deal with loss, particularly in this whole area of suicide. But more than that, my heart goes out to people that are so desperate that they're contemplating even taking their own life, because that really is a last step. It's final. There's no turning back. And I just want to conclude today by reading a little bit of a verse from the Bible, and if that's all right, we might pray a blessing on people as well. And in actual fact, this little verse from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it actually is like a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying for the church in Rome back in the day, and it's relevant for us today. And it goes like this: May the God of hope, God is a God of hope. He wants us to see above and beyond the situations that we're in. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's what you were talking about, I guess, is that in God there is a peace that actually is a settling in our spirit and our heart that goes over and above the situation that we might be in. So let's just pray for that peace to settle on people today as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the power of God, actually, that we can have a supernatural peace. We can have an inner joy, even in the midst of all sorts of difficulties and challenges. And so that's what I would like to leave us with today, is that positive thought that God wants to give us hope. He wants to lift us above. He wants to help us through, and he wants to bring peace and good things into our lives. So if you're okay, I will pray into that. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, Mike? Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, well, Lord God, I just pray for every person that's listening right now. I pray for every family that's been through trauma and loss, and particularly this loss of a loved one through suicide. And I just pray that you would bring healing, that you would bring hope, that you would bring peace into those family situations. Help them to understand that it's not something necessarily that they've done at all. It's just part of life. And Lord God, I just pray also for the people that are so desperate right now, that they're even thinking about this sort of thing. I pray that you would lift that feeling off them, that depression off them, that spiritual darkness. I just want to rebuke that spiritual darkness in your mighty name, Jesus. And I pray that every listener would have a sense of your peace, Lord God, and your love and your settledness in their spirit and in their heart. I just want to declare a blessing over our community today. And I pray that no more young people or even older people would take their lives, that this whole curse of suicide would be broken off our community. And I just want to pray a blessing on those that are going to be involved in the Hikoi and the Awareness Day on Sunday. And I just pray that their efforts would be fruitful and there'd be just a real blessing released over our community in this season. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. And I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. Gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. No, I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. Oh, I'm not gonna fear the storm. No, I'm not gonna fear it all.
Peace over you today too, over this weekend, no matter what you're doing. Me and Denise are coming to the end of our show. It's been a heartfelt one today. I think we've gone into some places that are not always the easiest to go when we're talking about loss of life and the people that we love. So again, I encourage you, the Hikoi for Hauora and Suicide Awareness Day is on Sunday. The meeting at the yard, it's from 10 till 2. They're doing a walk around the bridges and then they'll come back to the yard, and I think there's a lot of, there'll be different people there that can... Well, I think there might be pamphlets talking about suicide and finding support, and maybe even sharing some stories from each other, and just being there as community, knowing that you're not on your own. And hey, don't forget there's a whole faith community out there too. Prayer is an incredible thing when we are going through hard times. You don't always have to have a faith to want prayer in your life. It brings that point of peace. You may feel something different just from having that from a person who's got a heart for God. So yeah, it's been good to have you, and have a great weekend, and we're heading out, aren't we, Denise?
We are indeed. Something else I've just seen on the brochure here is there's a remembrance space as well.
Oh, yeah,
so
well,
that's
done.
Quite powerful.
That's very powerful.
Like.
I didn't read that, Denise. Mm. Where is it?
Support services,
I do like
information,
that.
Remembrance space, activities for the whole whānau. And sausage sizzle.
Yeah, that remembrance, to remember to bring somebody to mind and bring them in present moment. There isn't actually, I might mention this, there is actually a counselling model around this, which I found incredible, which was not forgetting the people that have passed, but when we remember somebody, we bring them into present time. And often when we have a loved one who has spoken wisdom into our life and they're gone and we don't know what we're going to do without them, when we bring them to mind in present time, you can say, I wonder what Kuro would say about that. Mm. And honestly, you'll probably be able to bring to mind what Kuro would say about that, because you had such a relationship with that person that it will naturally happen for you. And sometimes we can feel not so alone that we've lost them, because those treasures of remembering them and bringing them forward into our present time and hearing what they would say is very healing.
Wow, that's powerful. On Sunday morning too, we have each week at the school hall, we have Surfside Community Church at 10 o'clock. We've just been hearing from Roger what he's thinking about for this Sunday morning. It sounds like it's going to be a great time together. So, maybe you are not a walker and you might like to be a part of the Hikoi after the walk. You'd be welcome to join us at the school from 10 to 11 and then go down to the yard to be part of the rest of the celebrations and remembrances. So,
yeah, and I'm hoping to do that. I will be at church in the morning, but I am going to head down somewhere just before the end of church, I think, so that I can get down there and be amongst the people and community. So, kia kaha. You are not alone. Thanks, Denise, for being in here. Your beautiful face. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be kind and gentle to self. Be good to yourself, okay? There's only one of you, so look after it.
Shepherd, and he is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me, he said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still